You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast. Your dynamic duo, Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky. We are back at it. We're going to be breaking down everything that happened in the Kings-Timberwolves game before looking ahead to the next game on the schedule and the next matchup for the Timberwolves. Now, obviously, they don't play tonight, but tomorrow night they're going to be back on the road against the Atlanta Hawks. And so we're going to take a quick look at that game, and we're going to dive into more detail tomorrow, but we're going to take a quick look ahead at that game and the rest of the slate of games this week. But first, Trey, we got to talk about this Timberwolves game because, wow, Towns coming off the concussion, 34 points, holy smokes.
Yeah, he was amazing. 13 of 18. And hold up, he did this all in 30 minutes of play. Like, he had five fouls pretty early in this game, and he did everything in 30 minutes. He had 34 points, 13 of 18 from the field, 3 of 6 from the three-point line, 21 boards and 5 assists and 2 blocks. This was a monstrous game for Karl-Anthony Towns, and it's exactly what we predicted, Colton. Like, the front court for the Sacramento Kings just not very good. Willie Cauley-Stein is just too inconsistent and ineffective at times. And although Marvin Bagley showed us in this game that he is going to be a very good player in this league, it wasn't enough to go against the already blossoming Karl-Anthony Towns. And it wasn't just Towns in this game. It was other guys that were stepping up too. It was Derrick Rose, Luol Deng, and Tyus Jones. And actually, I want to definitely shout out Tyus Jones. I haven't really given him a lot of love this year, but he played fantastic against De'Aaron Fox, holding Fox, their best player on the Kings, to 8 of 24 from the field. So, yeah, it was just a fantastic game. And I love seeing Towns come in this one super energetic and kind of exactly what we said in his last podcast, Colton. He came in this one after in a pretty good mood from that loss in Milwaukee when he didn't get to any playing time. Came in this one with his first game back since his car accident and just completely woke this team up. And I couldn't be happier with his performance.
Yeah, and it was really interesting, too, because the Kings came out firing. They outscored the Timberwolves 30-19 in that first quarter, and then the Timberwolves put up 44 points in that second quarter. I'm going to say it a couple times this week probably, but it just feels like a different team over the last couple weeks. There's a different energy around this team. You're not able to put them away. The Bucks were struggling to put the Timberwolves away. The Rockets and the Clippers never able to put them away. And the Kings never able to put the Timberwolves away. And these are all teams. Not only are these good teams, but if you look at teams like the Clippers, teams like the Kings, fast-paced teams, almost all of these guys are really good three-point shooters, going to attack you from the perimeter. And the Timberwolves just sticking with consistency. They know that Towns can get it done. They know they can go to guys like Derrick Rose. They can go to guys like Sarge. They can go to guys like Taj Gibson, and they're going to get some decent production out of them. Just staying consistent, and really that's been the biggest problem over the last couple of years with this younger core that they've been trying to build around is keeping consistent. In the last couple of weeks, they stayed really consistent. Obviously a monster game from Towns, 34 points, 21 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks. That helps a lot, but just consistency from the entirety of this roster is something that has definitely helped the good mood of the Timberwolves over the last few weeks and really in this month of February.
For sure. And you know, we have to note, and I know we haven't done it enough, without Robert Covington on this team, defensively, this team is obviously lapsing. They're missing somebody, and it's pretty obvious. And Josh Okogie in this one, I thought, and Tyus Jones as well, stepped up for the backcourt. They played 56 minutes together, playing time, the backcourt together, and they started the game together, and they finished this one with totaling 7 steals, which was fantastic, with a plus 21, plus minus. Josh Okogie led both teams in plus minus with a plus 20. All the time when he was on the court, he was making plays, and I love to see that. And he kind of was just standing off to the side a lot on offense, which I'm fine with. I think we've talked a lot on this podcast about what Josh Okogie is going to be, and we both kind of agree that he might be more of an offensive Andre Roberson in the future, and I think that is hopefully the mold that Ryan Saunders can fit him in. But aside from you know, the great performances on this team that I've already noted. Derrick Rose is just consistently stepped up in the past three games. And this one, he's had 20 points and an assist. And he was mostly just a scorer in this one. He had a couple bad turnovers, but just to him getting a 20-point game, this one is awesome because we really need that off the bench. And in the past three games, Derrick Rose is averaging 21 points a game, 52% from the field. So if he can keep that up against this three-game home streak we got coming up, starting with Atlanta, that would be fantastic because Towns can't do everything, and he has been getting in a lot of foul trouble this season, which we've also talked about. And obviously, Andrew Wiggins is just not himself right now, and it hasn't been this whole season, coming off a 3-for-10 game, the Sacramento performance. And ultimately, he was going against Harrison Barnes, which was pretty much the Spider-Man meme, and they couldn't do anything.
Yeah, it was really encouraging to see not only Tyus Jones but Derrick Rose play well, just because it's just nice to have it wasn't even the full compliment tonight, but it was nice. It's nice to have a bunch of guys in the backcourt that you can turn to, and it's something you hope you don't have to say, but it really is that way because the Timberwolves have had such a problem keeping guys healthy in that backcourt. And again, that's not blaming anybody. I know that it just happens. Sometimes it's just luck of the draw stuff, but I gotta say, it totally is a different team when you have Tyus Jones and Derrick Rose out there, even if it's not the full complement. And you have Tyus Jones kind of picking up the slack too. While Teague has been dealing with some injuries and been in and out of the lineup over the last five games, Tyus Jones has averaged 6 assists per game. That's two more than his average for the season. So you can see him picking up some slack assist-wise and playmaking-wise while Jeff Teague is out. And so you have that dynamic of the Timberwolves just getting the ball around the perimeter, getting the ball to different guys, getting some movement on the offense. Really, really good. We're going to go some top takeaways out of this little run that the Timberwolves have been on. But first, let's get to some sponsors. Colt Molesky, Trey Flynn. We were just talking about some of the positives and some of the good spots from this Kings game. What do you make, Trey, of this run that the Timberwolves are on? Now, I know that they had their streak a little messed up by the Bucks, but you play the Bucks close, you're winning games, you're taking care of business against the Kings, you're beating good teams in the Kings, or excuse me, against the Knicks, you're beating good teams in the Kings and the Rockets and the Clippers. They're doing a good job making sure that they're moving the ball a lot, making sure they're keeping those turnovers down. Had a little bit of trouble with that early in that game the other night, but doing a good job trying to win the turnover battle most of the time in these games. You're just seeing a little bit more energy. It looks like this team is locked in as a unit. I think last year you had guys like Towns locked in, Butler locked in, but you didn't feel like the entire team was locked into one goal, even though they made the playoffs. I know that's a weird thing to say, but it never felt like the whole team was locked into one goal as a united front. It really feels like for the first time this team is together, they're unified, they're good in the locker room, and they're really coming on strong the last leg of this season to try and make this playoff push. It just is, it looks like a different team because it feels like they're actually a team now.
For sure. And I think it shows in these past five games where Minnesota's 4-1, and what you've alluded to is that we did beat the Clippers, we did beat the Rockets, and then we did beat the Knicks, and then unfortunately we lost the Bucks. But coming back with this win against Sacramento was key last night, because we've had already a scenario where we, only 3-4 weeks ago, where we won three games in a row. From January 20th to January 24th, we beat the Phoenix Suns twice in a row and then the Los Angeles Lakers. And on that three-game win streak, I remember us talking about, we have the Jazz coming up two games in a row and then Memphis. Can we get one of those Jazz games and then definitely get the Memphis win? And unfortunately, we lost both of those Jazz games in a row. We had a really weird game against Memphis where we had to rely on a Karl-Anthony Towns, hopeful shot up in the air to, he sunk it, but it was very, very random. And then after that game against Memphis, we lost four games in a row. So just that inconsistency shows a lot for where Minnesota's came in just a short amount of time, because right after that four-game losing streak, we're on this three-game winning streak. We lose to Milwaukee in a really close game, and then we come back and beat Sacramento, which is a bona fide playoff contender. They would be a top six seed in the Eastern Conference, in my opinion. This is a real legit team we played last night. And it's also a good sign because they're a fast-paced basketball team, and we're a team that's been hampered with injuries all season. And we're going to play Atlanta on Wednesday night, who is the highest paced basketball team in the league. So that's just a good sign for us moving forward against teams like that. And it should just be noted that the biggest thing to take away from this is that we not only beat the Los Angeles Clippers and the Houston Rockets only a week or two ago or 2 weeks now ago, but we beat both those teams by 10 points each, right? We won 130 to 120 mm-hmm. against the Clippers. We won 121 to 111 against the Rockets. Not only are we finishing games in the past five games, we're actually trying to, if you will, put our foot on someone's throat. And in this case, putting our foot on everyone else's throat that's not the Minnesota Timberwolves. So we're actually doing really, really well, and I'm excited for it. I'm really excited for these next three games, actually, because we have the Hawks and Pacers coming up, and Victor Oladipo's injured, obviously, and then we have the Washington Wizards, who essentially are relying on Bradley Beal the same way the Rockets are relying on Harden. So I'm really confident. I'm probably, Colin, I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm probably the most confident I've been right now than I have all season with, you know, in terms of talking where the Timberwolves can go.
I'm excited as well. And we're going to definitely get to those next couple of games here. But I just wanted to say before we get to that, I just wanted to comment as well that I know people, the response and the pushback might be, well, they're just winning right now. And so that's why you guys are getting excited and you're ebbing and flowing with this team that ebbs and flows and you're getting excited about it. But I'm this excited about the team if they can keep this energy about them, whether they make the playoffs or not. Because last year's team, you cannot go throughout the entire season of last year and not tell me that that was a disjointed team and a disjointed roster with a bunch of problems and just guys playing really, really talented guys playing really well in a disjointed and weird roster and situation. And so they forced their way into the playoffs, and that's why they looked so bad against the Rockets when they finally made it there. It was the Rockets were actually a good team. There weren't a bunch of good pieces that were a good team. And it feels, and when you're watching this team, there still is some rust. There still is some rough patches. There's still some wrinkles that need to be ironed out. But you're seeing a team that feels a lot more complete and is playing as one. You're seeing a locker room that is in unison and that is all in and all behind Karl Anthony Towns, their superstar, and they're all falling in behind him and behind these veterans, and they're playing as one. The young guys are looking good in some spots and looking at Okogie is actually looking. I know he had a rough game against the Kings, but for the most part this season, he's been thriving and he's been playing really well. You had Keita Bates-Jopp, who came in, and there were some rough spots against the Bucks, but there was a lot to be excited about with him going in with admits that he's played sparsely throughout this season. It just feels that this team has finally come together as one.
For sure. And, you know, I think you put it really good by saying, you know, this team's coming together as one. And I think the one is Karl Anthony Towns. Like, just staying behind him mm-hmm. and, you know, just the most frustrating thing about Towns is that we have just, I don't think we've truly gotten behind him as a superstar. I think we need to realize the type of talent we're dealing with. We're not dealing with a LaMarcus Aldridge here. That's essentially the floor of what Towns is. I think the ceiling is kind of like where Anthony Davis is trying to find a ceiling as well. Like we're talking about a perennial superstar that most teams are going to want when Towns is Anthony Davis's age in 2 or 3 years. And any team would give up anything for a Karl Anthony Towns at 25, 26 years old. So we need to rally behind this guy. And frankly, I think we just need to drop the Andrew Wiggins conversation at this point. I think if Andrew Wiggins plays a really good basketball game, fantastic. Right. Like if he's going to play a game like last night, I'm just not even going to comment on it. It just is what it is now. I'm not going to bring up the contract. Before, when I was bringing up the contract, is because I had higher expectations. Now I'm just going into this thinking that he's just it is what it is. And until he wakes up or has consistent outings of success, then I'm just not going to comment on his poor game. As long as he doesn't lose the game for Minnesota, that's all that matters for me right now. And as long as he's not playing negative minutes. So last night, he didn't win the game for the Timberwolves, but he definitely didn't lose it for the Timberwolves. So I was fine with his performance ultimately. So I think we just need to rally around Towns. He's our guy. And also shout out to this organization for knowing how to play rookies, even if they were forced to with a lot of guys being hurt, because Josh Okogie's gotten all the right kind of minutes this season. And it's, you know, a good example would be looking at the Washington Wizards, a team that isn't sure whether they're going to make the playoffs or tank. And while the players are trying their best to make the playoffs and the front office is saying, let's make the playoffs, the fans are saying, let's tank. And that was almost happening with Minnesota. You could have easily seen that over the past 2 weeks. And what they've decided to do is play all their starters and their best players the most minutes and not play their Troy Brown Jr., their first-round pick, barely any minutes. And I'm glad we're not doing that with Josh Okogie. We're putting trust in the Georgia Tech rookie, and he's playing fantastic right now.
Yeah, and if Wiggins drops, to your point, if Wiggins drops like 45 against the Thunder next week, we're not going to come out on Wednesday with a pod about how maybe Wiggins is finding the lane, turning things around. That's not going to happen.
Oh, absolutely not.
I'm pretty confident saying this is not where this is headed. This is not where the Timberwolves Wiggins train is headed. But that's okay because they're aligning behind Towns. And again, I love Jimmy Butler. I loved him when he was on the team. I still love him like some heartbroken young lass in high school and some fool. But it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that it was a disjointed team last year and that there is a different kind of unity and a different kind of spark around this team and over the last couple of weeks, and they're really starting to find themselves. And so that's encouraging. And we're going to talk about the week slate here for the Timberwolves coming up, but let's get to some sponsors. Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky, we've been talking about the Kings, we've been talking about the new feel, the fresh new feel, like buying a new car, this Timberwolves team. I tell you what, it's very exciting. And we usually do this on Mondays. I feel like we've been pretty good about doing this on Mondays, but we just had so much to do yesterday, and we had such a loaded podcast already that we didn't get to do it. But we like to look ahead at the week, and we like to look ahead at what's going on, what the slate of games is going to be. And so let's do that, Trey. You already mentioned it. You already alluded to it earlier. Hawks, Pacers, Wizards. The Hawks are playing Wednesday, then they're playing the Pacers Thursday, and then finishing out Sunday with the Wizards. Hawks and Wizards, I'm not saying those are gimmies, but those are take-care-of-business games, right, Trey?
You like to think so. I mean, Trey Young is really, I think he's averaging 28 points a game over the past three games since All-Star break, and he's averaging close to 9 assists. He's been playing outside of his mind, and I think he really took all this rookie hype this season to heart because he hasn't really gotten a lot of shout-outs because he's playing in Atlanta, one of the worst teams in the league. But he is really a good player, and he's going to really turn himself into a potential all-star in the next two or three seasons, if not next year. So he's obviously somebody to watch out for, but ultimately this Atlanta Hawks team is trash. Yeah, like I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. They're a bad basketball team. They have really fun players. We've talked about earlier this season. I think me and Colton can both agree that John Collins is a beast. Might even win most improved player of the year. Kevin Huerter is going to be a really good backcourt duo with Trae Young for the next few years. And they also have Taurean Prince, who they were shopping at the deadline, but they ultimately kept him. I think he's dealing with some injuries right now, but they have a good basketball team. I like where their young guys are going to go. It's just that I think this team's going to break up. Like, I wish the best for this Atlanta Hawks team. I really like their head coach in Philadelphia. He got the process starting. So I do have some kind of, I am a little bit on the Atlanta Hawks island, but I'm like sort of on it. Like, I have like $100 in their stock, not a lot. Okay. So like, this is like my Bitcoin kind of situation where I'm just like hoping that this crypto takes off, and that's probably not what's going to happen. But Atlanta, most likely a win. When it comes to Indiana, who the hell knows how they're still killing it? I mean, they have a team they should be seeing themselves out of the playoffs, but somehow they're still at the top of the ranks in the East, even without Victor Oladipo. Bojan Bogdanovic is playing like an all-star. Miles Turner and the Domantas Sabonis duo somehow works in that front court. Guys like Darren Collison and Corey Joseph really taking up the minutes for Oladipo's injury time while he's gone. And then even like their rookies have been playing fantastic. So they have a really good roster. And then when you look at Washington, so it will be the third game on this three-game road trip, I am a little bit nervous to play Bradley Beal because we're essentially going to have to play Josh Okogie on him the whole time. But I'm hearing whispers, Colton, that Robert Covington could be back sooner rather than later. And that game's on Sunday against Washington. And I could potentially see Covington making it back by the weekend, if not next week, against Oklahoma City in that fourth game. But I can see Robert Covington coming back in the next 3 to 4 games. There's not been a timetable yet, but there have been an awful lot of whispers as of late. So I'd watch out for that. But Washington, their team is pretty much surrounded by Bradley Beal, and they're not very good. Besides Tomas Satoransky and Thomas Bryant, they're just not a good basketball team. So those are the only guys to watch out for from those teams. But also just watch out for Robert Covington.
First of all, super pumped if Robert Covington can come back. I think that that would, if he can come back and actually, if he's actually healthy, I think that would really solidify the Timberwolves as a team that can make, that can truly make a run at the playoffs. And then if you can, because right now the 7th and 8th seeds are tied. If you can somehow skip into that 7th seed so you're not playing the Warriors, I don't know. Robert Covington in, and you have Jokic and Towns playing each other in the first round of the playoffs, that's an awesome series. And that's a series where maybe the Timberwolves can grab a couple of games. But I'm getting ahead of my skis here. This week, I had one thought about all three of these teams. I used to, my first year in college when I was playing football still, I used to work nights. I worked for the Twin Cities Real Estate. I redid houses. I turned over houses. So all the junk and nastiness you pull out, and we'd put in new flooring, we'd fix walls and paint and make sure the yard was pretty, and then the realtor would come in and make the cookies and all that stuff to sell the house, right?
Yeah.
So when you go to these exceptionally rough houses, you'd have these guys come in and they'd try to determine if the house had good bones or not, if it was worth investing in, if it was worth putting any stock in, because there was something there to salvage, something there to look forward to in the next couple of years, but not right now. I feel like all of these teams this week are good bones teams, right? You have the Hawks. They're all super young, and at some point they're going to mature and be a good team, but not yet. The Pacers, you have guys like Leaf, you have guys like Turner, Sabonis, Tyreke Evans is a good piece on this team, Thaddeus Young, but you don't have Victor Oladipo, the cliche of it's the straw that stirs the drink, right? And so without him, you just got some great bones. You've got the Wizards with Bradley Beal, Bobby Portis, I like him as the small ball center there. You have Jabari Parker, who I still think could turn his career around. You have Troy Brown, who junior out of Oregon, who's a really exciting rookie, and they have some really good pieces, but they're not quite yet there. They're not quite, they need like one more B-level guy or one fringe all-star player. They're not quite there. So these are a bunch of teams that maybe 5 years from now are going to be good, but these are some good bones teams. And I think the Timberwolves, even against a team like the Pacers that's still winning games, I think the Timberwolves need to take care of business against all of these teams, because I think the Timberwolves are a playoff team right now, as opposed to all of these teams, which I don't think really any of them. The Pacers will probably be a playoff team just because of how they started out the season, but I don't think any of these teams are truly playoff teams as they stand with the roster right now.
Yeah, I agree. They're not necessarily playoff teams. I do think, I'm not sure which one, I'm kind of maybe leaning towards Indiana. I do think we're going to find an L in one of these three games. And if that does happen, listeners, don't freak out. Like how me and Colin were saying, just because it's one loss doesn't mean this team just still doesn't have its personality. If we do end up winning all three of these games, wow, right? A three-game road trip, you know, going 3-0, and that'll be our fourth win in a row. That'd be a lot, especially going into a home game on March 5th against Oklahoma City Thunder, which is going to be a huge game, and possibly the Andrew Wiggins game since he owns Oklahoma. I mean, we're sitting on a gold pile potentially with these three away games in a row, because if you look at the rest of the schedule, this is the top three, top four hardest schedule in the NBA. It is terrible. It gets really, really difficult to win games. We're seeing teams like the Warriors a few times. You're seeing the Denver Nuggets, the Toronto Raptors, the Thunder twice, Mavericks, Houston, Utah. It's really never ending, and it's going to be really tough. Los Angeles, Miami, like there's a lot of good basketball teams in that mix. So these are the kind of W's that Minnesota needs to have. And something we haven't even talked about at all is they need to have it. They need to have these three wins, mostly because they're only three games back from the eighth seed, which is huge because the Los Angeles Lakers just fell behind the Minnesota Timberwolves in the standings. LeBron James looks like he's going to miss his first year being out of the playoffs since I think his second or third year in the season. And now Minnesota is only two games away from Sacramento in the ninth seed, and Minnesota is the 10th seed right now. So this is a huge time for Minnesota to pull out these three wins. So hopefully we can be some pretty good fortune tellers on this podcast, Colton, and hopefully get this Timberwolves team in that eighth seed.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is the stretch you have to take advantage of with the competition that they finish out the season with. This is the stretch you really have to take advantage of. I'm a little worried about Bradley Beal and the Wizards, just because Bradley Beal plays the Timberwolves really well. And this, not even a hot take anymore, but this Wizards team is better without the John Wall, and they're going to be trying really run all over the place and go high up tempo paced basketball, especially with Bobby Portis at the center. And so that one worries me a little bit, but I think they should be able to. There's a very high potential for a 3-game road winning streak here, and that would put you on a really nice trajectory to finish out, because then if you're dropping a couple extra games to maybe like a Denver Nuggets or a Thunder, you're not having to worry so much about your seeding because you picked up these 3 wins here. They'll be crucial. So look out for those. We'll dive into the specifics of the Hawks game tomorrow. But as of right now, that's it for Trey and myself. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.